fellow freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. And I hope you all had a really good Thanksgiving, because I did. I had the benefit of having my wife, who's somebody who's a little bit particular about the things she eats, and she's gifted in art. You put those two things together, you have somebody who can cook really well. And she did. We didn't have anybody sharing the load with her, so every one of us were blessed. So I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving 2012. I hope that you honored the creator of heaven and earth, Almighty God, for the things that he's brought you. And I'm grateful for that tradition that's been here in America. Today's message, or actually I say message, it is a message. I went through the news today and I was shopping for things, something other than in-flight entertainment. And it was after a day where I had spent some time studying. I know I'm supposed to be reading my Bible. And every now and then I go ahead and just do it. So I did that today. That's how I started my day. And I spent many hours reading my Bible and reading a book that somebody gave me. I might be able to get that on the break and retrieve that. It's around here someplace. Tell you about it. And I was doing some reflecting on history and the future. So that's today's broadcast of this Faith and Freedom show that I call Preservative Talk Radio. You can give me a call later. Hold on to your calls right now. Actually, you can't. I take it back. I'm not even going to tell you the phone number because Verizon DSL is down and our studio incoming call line is sent to us by way of the internet. So until Verizon fixes that in our area, we're just out of luck. So you're going to have to listen to me just straight out here. Today's broadcast is going to be a little bit strange. It's going to be something that would really offend a lot of people, most likely. And I don't mean it's not going to be profane. It's not going to be something that's political. It's going to be insanely religious. And that's the kind of thing somebody, I'd say, nice, comfortable Christians, hello, I think you need to tune in and tell your friends. Give your friends a call. Tell them to tune in to the radio, whichever station you're listening to, whether you're in Saudi Daisy area or South Pittsburgh, or tuning in to Channel 2 or Channel 18 on television. Either way, tell your friends to tune in, because today I'm going to be confronting you with some questions. I'll tell you about what I read. This thing I was reading today was a guy's take on prophecy, biblical prophecy. And so I thought some of it was pretty interesting. It was pretty good. But as I was reading, I thought about some things in my own life. I gave you a short series that I'm going to come back to eventually. A day in the life without a number. Imagine what it would be to go through your daily life without a number. Now, today I'm going to go a little bit beyond that because of something that I just found in the news. And it should be something that should excite some people, but also make them very wary of their lifestyle and maybe some misconceptions they have about God's plan for them and politics. So this crosses all borders here, folks. This is government and religion combined into one today. So imagine what it would be going through life without a number. I have some people say, hey, give up the computer for a month and watch how it just drives you into withdrawal syndrome and all that. Well, how about this? How about obtaining a job without a number? Well, it's against the law. You can't do it. Actually, it isn't. It is so insanely lawful. Now, why would it seem to everybody that it wasn't? What sublime impulse, what sublime inspiration would cause people to think that it's a requirement of law? But nonetheless, try to get a job without a number in America, home of the free and the brave. Try to get a bank account without a number. Well, it's unlawful. Actually, it isn't. It's actually insanely lawful. But try to get a banker who actually knows that to be true. How about, what other things you got to do with a number since our phone lines are down? How about getting a phone account without a number? How about getting a Verizon cell phone plan without a number? How about getting a credit card without a number? How about going to public school without a number? How about going to college without a number? You wouldn't be able to fill out the FAFSA form. You wouldn't be able to get the grants, the loans. Imagine what it would be. What kind of inconveniences would come your way if you just took a month and said, let's just act like it's a free country where, let's call it religion. Let's say for a devotion to God, you sacrifice for a month your life so that it would be lived without a number. Imagine what you would have to face. That's an interesting proposition. Let me tell you about this article in the news here. Students at Cranberry Station Elementary School in Westminster, Maryland, tune in, Liberty Works Radio Network of Westminster, Maryland. That's where this signal is going before it reaches our broadcast area in Tennessee. Students at Cranberry Station Elementary School in Westminster, Maryland, use a palm scanning device to pay for their school lunches. How convenient. They're actually excited. At least somebody is. At schools in Pinellas. Well, let's see. Story highlights. Students are using it to pay for school lunches, scan records, and digitizes picture of palm sends to computer. Technology popping up nationwide is a bona fide biometric tracker of identities. Here we go. At schools in Pinellas County, Florida, students aren't paying for lunch with cash or card, but with a wave of their hand over a palm scanner. I wonder which hand it is. It's so quick that a child could be standing in line, call mom and say, I forgot my lunch money today. She's by her computer, runs her card, and by the time the child's in front of the line, it's already recorded, says Art Dunham, Director of Food Services for Pinellas County Schools. Students take about 4 seconds to swipe and pay for lunch, Dunham says, and they're doing it with 99% accuracy. We just love it. No one wants to go back, says Dunham. I wonder if all the students think that. Well, I guess they do. They like it because they're being brought up to do that sort of thing. Palm scanning technology is popping up nationwide as a bona fide biometric tracker of identities. And it appears poised to make the jump from schools and hospitals to other sectors of the economy, including ATM usage and retail. It also has it's almost like this is an infomercial. It's actually a news story. It also has applications as a secure identifier for cloud computing. Here's how it works. Using the same near-infrared technology that comes in a TV remote control or Nintendo Wii video game, the device takes a super high-resolution infrared photograph of the vein pattern just below a person's skin. That image between 1.5 and 2.5 square inches recorded and digitized. So far, no other company other than, it's being done by Fujitsu right now. No other company has such a palm scanner on the market, though there's at least one other company working on it. It's actually Intel. Like many technological breakthroughs, development began accidentally. I'll summarize. This guy who accidentally scanned his hand in a photocopy or something like that, I don't know what, he eventually figured out that the infrared scanner that he was using actually picked up the pattern of his veins in his hand. And he figured out, hey, I wonder if everybody's veins are individual. Well, we're going to go to more of this article as we go through here. Think about that, folks. Let's step back and think about what life would be without a number. Now, how am I connecting this life without a number and the hand scanner and government and religion all in one fell swoop? Well, you're going to have to stick through this. This is going to be an interesting show. Tell your friends to tune in. And really stop and think. This was actually told to me one time by a group of people who are experts in constitutional law, religious freedom issues. And I was asking him a question. The guy said he would talk to me, and he actually gave me 2 hours of his time without billing me. And he said, before I talk to you, you go figure out what would it take you to go off into a third world country and live to just share the gospel? What would you have to give up? What would you have to lose? We're talking bank accounts. We're talking furniture, house. Before you figure out this question that I wanted to pose to him, he says, I want you to think about what it would take you, what it would take to sacrifice everything and go off in a mission field where really you had nothing that you have to rely on now, that would all be gone. And if you'll do that, I will give you my time and give you some, actually it turned out to be free law information. And that was a very important part of my life where I stopped and I thought about it. And I had to deeply think about, if God called me to go off and sell everything and give it all away, would I be able to do it? Could I did it? What did I have the faith? Did I have the devotion that it took to actually do anything that God would ask me to do? And when I came to the conclusion, yes, then I made an appointment with that lawyer. So I just say, think about that. You don't even have to go off to deepest, darkest Zimbabwe or who knows, or Japan or wherever that deepest, darkest place is in your mind. What would be worse, maybe, would be staying in America. It might even be more of a hardship if you think about it. What would it be like to stay in America and live just for a month without a number? Could you do it? What if everybody said, you can't do that? And you said, but God told me to. He told me to take a month off from numbering myself, from expressing my identity in this numerical way. What would they do? This is a free country. There's a First Amendment. There's laws protecting religion. There's all kinds of good stuff there. What would it take? So just to give you a little, these things occurred to me years ago. This is David Allen Carmichael. You can look me up on the internet. And I really thought God was asking me to dump the number. That's what I thought was going on. And I had to think about, what would it cost? Let's see, it would cost me my Navy career. It would cost me my reputation. Christians wouldn't understand. How come you're not conforming to the law? How come you're not just, do you get it? Why are you having an appearance of evil? Where is your Christian faith? Where's your Christian identity? I mean, think about it. You know, this can't be the number of the beast, because I'm saved and I'm eternally secure and I embrace this number as an element of my identity. So it can't be the number of the beast, because I'm going to heaven. And those are the kind of things that people would say, and I'd lose my job, and I wouldn't be able to get a bank account, and I wouldn't be able to vote, and I wouldn't be able to get a driver's license, thanks to Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code that requires every applicant for a professional license, occupational license, driver's license, marriage license, recreational license, to confess as an element of their identity this particular number. So this is going to be a weird show today. We're recording it. I'm going to put it on podcast because of what I did today, this morning, reading the Bible, and what I found today as I was perusing through the news. And of all things, the headline here relates to something happening at an elementary school right where our radio offices are in Westminster, Maryland, the one that I send my electronic information to here, and it gets sent back to the station in Tennessee. Weird but true. David Allen Carmichael, this is my Faith and Freedom Show. I normally engage the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. I call it Preservative Talk Radio. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com or go to our podcast, PreservativeTalkRadio.net.